Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
One of the most well-known conversations in the Bible occurs between Jesus and Peter after the resurrection. Now when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." A lot has been made over the years about the different words for love used here. The first two times, Jesus uses agape. Peter responds, phileo, each time. The third time, Jesus uses phileo. Agape is that unconditional love that we generally attribute to God. Phileo is brotherly love, where Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, gets its name. John 16:27, Jesus said, "The Father himself loves you," using phileo. So God is not limited only to agape love. I have heard people suggest that agape is limited to God. They say, only God can agape. Then why does he say the second most important command is to love, agape, your neighbor? Even more perplexing is that when Jesus said, "If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even tax collectors, do they not do the same?" He uses the word agape for tax collectors. So, most of this is rhetoric in modern Western reasoning, mainly useful for selling books. After all, the passage says, "He said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?'" Not differentiating between the different words. The point is, Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. Besides that, most scholars agree that the everyday language Jesus used that the disciples, including Peter, would have understood was Aramaic, not Greek. Then there are three theories about the phrase, "more than these." The theories are, 1, Jesus is asking Peter if he loves Jesus more than he loves the other disciples. 2, Jesus is asking Peter if he loves Jesus more than he loves his profession, these referring to the fish Peter catches. And 3, Jesus is asking Peter if he loves Jesus more than the other disciples love Jesus. The third choice makes the most sense. Remember on the night of the Last Supper, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. As it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter replied to him, "Even if they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. In other words, I love you more than they do." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Peter, in fact, denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus gave Peter opportunity to make amends for his 3 denials by confessing his love 3 times. The same principle applies to the words shepherd and feed and sheep and lambs as agape and phileo. It's not worth splitting hairs over. Feed my sheep, tend my lambs, shepherd my flock. Peter, if you love me, prove it by how you treat others. Stating love without action to back it up is just lip service. In John's Gospel, Jesus said the following, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The one who keeps my commandments is the one who loves me. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, because all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. This I command you, that you love one another." If you love Jesus, you will love others. Peter, if you love me, take care of my sheep. Jesus' words had an enormous impact on young John's thinking. In his first epistle, he writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We know that we passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life remaining in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for their brothers. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has seen. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and follow his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And just as our love for God is proven by our love for others is proven by practical demonstration. 1 John 3 says, "Whoever has the worldly goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in him?" You might say it like this. If you see a guy in a corner with a sign asking for help, and you roll up your window and look the other way, how does that justify your bumper sticker that says Jesus loves you? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. James echoes this when he says, "True and undefiled religion in the sight of God our Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. If a brother is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Go in peace and be warmed and filled,' but you do not give him what is needed for their body, what use is that?" By the way, religion here is not a bad word. It has become vogue to say, "I'm not religious, I'm spiritual." I take that to mean, I know there is something more than this material existence, but I don't want anyone else making rules for me to live by. So what gets in the way of our love for others? 1 Timothy 6 says, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith, causing themselves much pain." Jesus said, No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot love both. But it is not just the love of money. Jesus said, in the last days, lawlessness will be increased, and people's love will become cold. Paul told Timothy, in the last days, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Sound familiar? Look around. And Jesus gave this stern warning. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many of you will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been built on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and its collapse was great. I always heard that Jesus is the rock in this story, but the rock in this story is obedience to Jesus' word. He went on to say, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, and feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger, and invite you in, or naked, and clothe you? And when did we see you sick, or in prison, and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you accursed people, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves will answer, Lord, when did we see you and not take care of you? And he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it for the least of these, you did not do it for me either. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus' economy seems to be quite different from that of today's church. The conversation between Jesus and Peter had a lot of history behind it. Peter had made two very important confessions of faith in Jesus. In John 6, Jesus said to the crowd, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. He was speaking figuratively. But as usual, people misunderstood what he was saying, and they could only see the material world. As a result, many of his disciples left and would no longer walk with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you not want to leave also?" And Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life, and we already believe and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Later, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." And he said to them, "But who do yourselves say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." After the resurrection, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For if you forgive the sins of any, the sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." This is the very best explanation of his statement, "Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Whenever you forgive others, you set them free. If you don't, they remain bound. After Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are correct, for so I am. So, if the Lord and the teacher washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example, so that you would also do just as I did for you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him." Paul expounds on this. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, as an offering and a sacrifice to God, as a fragrant aroma. Even husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, is a call to imitate Christ." The night of the betrayal, Peter said, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus replied, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me 3 times. When Peter met Jesus for the first time, Jesus said, "Follow me." Peter wanted very much to follow Jesus from then on. The conversation between Jesus and Peter that we began with ended like this. Jesus said to Peter, "Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to put on your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will put your belt on you and bring you where you do not want to go." Now he said this, indicating what kind of death Peter would glorify God with. Tradition tells us Peter was crucified spread eagle upside down because he said he was not worthy to die like his Lord. And when Jesus said this, he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus' call to Peter and to all of us is to follow him.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.